FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, January 27th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. This is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host yet again as we have a discussion on what is in the news. But I don't want to just have a discussion on what is in the news. I want to continue our discussion that Aaron and I had yesterday about what should we expect for our 50th Independence celebration, right? Coming up in July 10th. And Aaron was given a list of ideas of what we could be doing. And we were analyzing what has been done thus far. But I saw the headlines and said, no. I want to talk about independence, but you see all the things that is happening in the headline. And I said, Lord, how I can do this? And I said, Aaron, you got to tarry a bit. I know you want to talk, right? But I need to mention one or two of these things that's been happening. Like Clint Watson won't be a consultant. You know, not no regular consultant, no. Them high-end, big pain consultant, and he won't be the what he is. What is your title?
Press secretary.
And he won't be the press secretary. What kind of mix up this is? Now mind you, ZNS, even though it's owned by government or the people of the Bahamas, it's an independent branch, right? They write the news about what's happening in the country, and of course, what is happening in the government, right? They can't be critical of the government, but they got to be objective. But the press secretary don't be objective. They have an agenda. Their agenda is to promote the government no matter what. The whole place could be burning down. You say, no. That's just to keep you warm. And the very idea that Mr. Watson said, no, I could do both. I come in and as a big time consultant. I'm trying to help ZNS. I'm trying to shape ZNS people. Right? Now, mind you, they just get one high-ranking general manager at ZNS and things start going well. But apparently, Clint, they say he is a salvation to save them, to make sure they go smoothly. And I say, ludicrous. This may have me for fool. Because I circumspect with things. I believe that the government is trying to control media. They done hire all those media personalities all from all over the place and moved them from being critical of the government and say, man, you now work for government. Now we have the man into ZNS to say he can be consultant. Anyway, Aaron Green has joined me today and we're going to have a discussion on that. And also I want to bring this out to Aaron. The Prime Minister, our Prime Minister, the great Prime Minister that we have, right?
The brave one,
right? He telling us that his government, his administration, we're doing all that can be done regarding immigration. Nothing else. This is here. Everything you could thought of is being done now, and we need to recognize that. And this is why I could bring Erin Green here because she was excited. And put on Erin's mic because I can't hear inside my air plug.
Point of clarification. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Point of clarification. The headline says, we're doing all that we can do, not all that can be done. That's a very big distinction.
But you didn't stress the word all. You got to say it again. If you're going to read it, correct me. If you're going to correct me. If you're going to correct me, you got to stress the word all. So I can let you say it again. But okay. If you don't say the word all, like how I say it.
We're doing all that we can.
Okay,
that's right. Now we've changed the nature of my critique. Because I don't believe either. You said all that can be done. We know they're not doing all that can be done. They're saying they're doing all that they can, right? So the question is, are you really doing all of the things that you can do?
The Prime Minister just said it.
Have you exhausted every single avenue
the prime minister just said it
to you.
See, I'm not sure where you're going down the slippery slope trying to challenge my good prime minister.
Okay, he said it.
And I don't appreciate it, by the way.
Listen, he said it, but it doesn't, it has no weight. If it meant something, it may have been followed by, we're doing all that we can, and then, and here are the limitations that we face. In terms of the law, here are the legal limitations and that restrict what we can do, right? Here are the economic limitations that restrict what we can do. Here are the political, both local, regional, and international, right? Bahamian politics, CARICOM politics, UN, OAS politics. Don't forget France and the US. These are the, right? What are the limitations? Where are the areas that you are restricted in? What is it that you want to do, but you cannot do?
Cousin Aaron, you're doing semantics now. You're doing semantics again and trying to...
Am I doing semantics or are they doing semantics?
I don't know because I believe you just like being critical of the government. I'm saying the good German saying that we, as a country, are doing all that we can do. Yeah. That's full stop.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't come up with ideas, extra ideas of what they can do...
Well, you didn't ask me for ideas.
Oh, then I'll ask you for ideas because I don't like how you're being critical with the government and if you can't come up with any solutions because I know this administration is doing all they can do.
Let's start with enhancing local government, right?
We have local government in Family Island.
I said enhance it. So that commissioners or the people.
Island administrators.
Administrators, right? Can deputize residents who've been through a RBPF and RBDF training exercise. They can deputize those people, right? To use their boats and resources to patrol the borders of the islands. It means then that the state has to deploy some resources, so we need Defense Force officers on the island permanently to work with your deputized residents to patrol and document and follow if there is an illegal landing. We're not encouraging, even when they're deputized, we're not encouraging them to interact with migrants.
See, I hear you, and I know you mean well. I know you mean well with that suggestion, right? But that could be problematic. Right. Now, first of all, the island commissioners, the island administrators, can deputize anyone who they want because they are like the magistrates on the island.
Yeah.
So that they're not limited at that. I know that if there is a landing, especially like in Long Island, if there's a landing of migrants. Illegal migrants on that island, the whole island could come together and detain and with the island administration police officers for that. So that can be done now. So the prime minister does not need to announce that. That can be done now.
Yeah, but he said that we're doing all that we can, but see, and they haven't done
but
that.
But
said he can do it.
But that has been done now. Hold on, Island. You trying to say that if a group of immigrants land on Long Island, you're trying to say the people are going to go
interject? There's a big difference between the way that community operates on Long Island and the way that community operates on the other islands. Long Island may be a model that other islands can use, but we know right now that's a cultural movement. That's not a political movement. That don't come from the administrator. That's decades of cultural and social practice in play.
So, but why must we make that political and have it as an instruction when all Bahamians can do the same thing?
No.
Just in Andres recently, when they had that landing there, the community came about and helped the police officers detain the 40 people they come across.
They helped the police officers detain the individuals. And that's the most important part. They were assisting a group of people already authorized to do that. And that's where the danger lies. And that's why it's important to make the distinction between Long Island and the other islands. And that what's going on in Long Island is cultural. Everybody knows what we do and how we do it. Everybody is conditioned. There's no panic. There's no rage, right? There's no There's no risk of uncontrolled violence. This is a social, like, this is social. Everybody is engaged in it, and everybody understands the temperament necessary to do this.
Okay, I hear you. So give me another suggestion for the prime minister, because like I said, the prime minister said we're doing all we can do.
Drones.
We have drones. We've paid the FNM administration. I mean, I ain't see the drones since then. But the FNM administration buy millions of dollars of drones. They're in storage someplace.
Right. We need to use them. But it's more than just using them. First of all, you got to train people how to operate them, how to operate the cameras, how to document what it is you see. Right. We have to train people how to relay coordinates to the relevant authorities so they can then go and inspect or assess the areas that have been identified by the footage, right? It's not just throw some drones in the air. We have the drones. Are they being used? Are they being used as a part of a plan to monitor the borders of islands and movement therein? Let's take Abaco specifically, some ideas. First of all, from post-Dorian, mm-hmm. right? There should have been a special measure put in place.
Yeah, we know that.
But this is, we can still do that. We know that, and this is the point that we're making. How can the prime minister get up and say we're doing all that we can do when there's some very basic, obvious things that we know about that haven't been done? We can begin monitoring the movement of people from the islands that we have identified, get the court in to say these islands have been identified as having an extraordinary movement of migrants, and we need to document the movement of all people moving in and out of the island.
See, you're trying to make my premises look bad. I can entertain you a little more, no? But what you mean by document the movement of all people? I don't understand what you mean by that. You're trying to say you can try and do a linking on me and ask me where my passport is while I say going on the family island?
You're not going to do a linking on you. I'm going to ask the authorities who are authorized.
They can't be asking me questions when I think of the right to. There's no law to tell me I need to carry my passport every place I need to go or identification. There's no law.
Absolutely, which is why you would need a special measure put in place for that. The same way we had economic special measures, we may need a legal special measure for the purposes of getting under control a crisis situation by monitoring the movement of people in and out of Abaco and the Abacos. Temporary special measure. It should have been done post-Dorian. If it had been done post-Dorian, we would have had a model to implement, right? After this other extraordinary event, which is the assassination of the president of Haiti and the ensuing devolution of politics in Haiti.
I hear you. So you have so far identified three things that the prime minister and the Ministry of Immigration can implement immediately. And so that means you're trying to dispel the myth that they're doing all of what they can do right now. So that's three. You have any more? Because I got to go to the caller. I want to know if you have any more.
You want to go to the caller?
You look like you run out.
I ain't finished.
You have more?
I ain't finished.
See?
I mean, it's the brave one we're talking to, right? He can handle it.
Anyway, the producer, put the caller through, because Erin apparently has a long list of things the government can implement, and that she's trying to challenge my prime minister. I hear her. She's trying to challenge the prime minister, saying that he ain't really truthful, talking about he do it all.
Go to the caller.
Yeah, just go to the caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm a first-time caller to both of your shows.
Nice. I appreciate that.
Yes. I just wanted to call and give some encouragement. I really enjoy listening to the two of you. Erin is an old playmate of mine, Johnson Terrace, Johnson Road.
Look at that. Morning.
Morning, Erin. and Mr. Nuri, I know you and your wife very well, Sanan, church member people, you know?
Look at you.
I know all of y'all. Anyway, I just wanted to give some encouragement and to say that, you know, I think the two of you are probably the most knowledgeable radio hosts on the radio right now. I find that when you have guests, you actually have done your research, you've looked into the matter. if the guest says something that is not correct, you are able to correct them without having the guest mislead the public, as some other radio hosts do. I won't call any names. But anyway, just encouragement. But yeah, on this issue with the illegal immigrants, you know, it's really a very unfortunate situation that we find ourselves in. And I really don't know if there's really an answer for any of this, except to say, once the persons are in country, we have to find, I imagine, productive ways to help them to enhance their way of life, if I can say that. Because, you know, the conditions that they are living in their country are, I mean, it's so heartbreaking when you think about what they are exposed to. And for them to pay the money that they pay to get on those vessels that they get on, that should tell you that they are desperate. And I'm not saying that we need to take them all in or that's the answer, but, you know, I don't know if there's something that can happen between us and the United States where, this, you know, something can come about where we can come to some arrangement where we can try and enhance their way of life. I honestly don't know what the answer is, but I feel, like I said, I am one of the more sympathizers with this whole situation. I don't know if you guys have watched the movie on Netflix called The Swimmers.
The Swimmers.
The ladies who came, who they migrated from, oh gosh, what was their background? Anyway, they ended up leaving their home country, and one of them ended up becoming an Olympic athlete,
yes,
a swimmer. And she ended up swimming for, this actually is based on a true story. She actually ended up swimming as part of the Olympic team. What was the team that they had many years ago when there was no, they didn't fly, they didn't swim for their country, but it was a group of them that came together and swam under the Olympic flag.
Nice.
So she was one of the ones who participated in that, and they explored, or this movie actually explored their journey of having to leave their home and leave their parents behind and migrate and they actually tried to get into Europe. And that kind of softened me a bit with this whole plight of illegal immigrants and what they have to go through. And I mean, just think of us, right? We love our country and we love our Bahamas. And for us to have to leave here and pay money to get on a boat to go to another country, it has to be really bad, right? It's going to have to be really bad for that to happen. Like I said, I don't know what the answer is. I'm hoping that we could eventually get the answer. And, you know, I find it very humorous because I'm of Long Island descent. So everyone gets to...
You'll be one of those people.
Everyone gets to bring up the Long Island, quote-unquote, tale about the illegal immigrants landing and the treatment that they were exposed to. And that's why they don't land on Long Island. Or if they were to come close to Long Island, they get back in the boat and go to Exuma. You know? So I honestly don't know, but I mean, I just wanted to send some encouragement out to the two of you. I know the two of you, I haven't seen Erin in a very long time, like I said, childhood days. But just some encouragement to just, you know, continue to do what you do, continue to put these issues to the forefront, and hopefully at some point, not in the near future, that we could get some sort of resolution that works for both parties.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks very much for calling.
Thank you very
much. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Just immediately patch the other caller through so I can challenge Erin again. Because Erin says she has some more solutions the government could be doing. And my prime minister, dead answer, we doing all we can do. So
if you'd like to
hang up that. So answer that. Let's see if this works. Caller, can you hear me there?
I'm glad. Good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
Very good. You know, I heard the last caller, and I think you're missing some things. We all are sympathizers with those that are having the problem in Haiti. I don't believe no Bahamian coming from a country what we call a Christian nation has anything against anybody coming from Haiti. We all love our brothers and sisters, black or white, coming from countries what having problems. She says she don't know what the problem is, what the solution is. I think the solution is to follow the law of our land. The law of our land states, if you come into this land illegally, you must leave. That's the law of the land. Enforce the law of the land. Secondly, Ms. Green and sir, do you remember the story of America? Do you remember when the people left England and so forth because of religious rights of freedom and so forth? So So they left England, and when they reached America, the Indians, the native Indians came out and greeted them on the shore and brought them gifts and food to help them mm-hmm. because of the long journey over the over Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah.
You remember that story?
The Pilgrims?
You remember, but you remember the story why they left England because of freedom, the different freedoms that they wanted to have that they could not have. So they left, the Pilgrims left England or Ireland or wherever they left. They left to go to America. The indigenous Americans, what they met there, came out and welcomed them and fed them. Mm-hmm. That's what we talk about, what they call Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. What did the white man do to the Indians of America? Didn't they take over America, put the Indians up in the mountains, took everything from the indigenous Americans? If anybody come to this country, like I keep telling everybody, there's 11.45 million Haitians south of us in Haiti on one island now having a problem. If 1 million set foot, 1 million out of 11.45 set foot on the Bahama Islands, wherever they set foot, over 450,000 Bahamians, we would be wiped right out and there would be no more Bahamians.
Okay, then, Sparky, I appreciate that. Only thing I got out of that is that he said that Europeans are invasive species, and anytime they come to your country, everybody can get wiped out. That's what I heard. Did you hear that? I heard that.
I was about to say that it's a good thing Haitians aren't white people.
Yeah, that's a good thing, so we ain't got to worry about that.
What I remember about Haitians is they won freedom from the tyrannical Europeans who were trying to control the world and all things African, mm-hmm. and then they said, anybody
can
in the
come
world...
There.
Who is an African?
Thank God they're European, because we know how that go.
But I appreciate the point.
But I still won't get you the list, right? Because uh-huh. you give me three.
Okay.
You give me three, and I can embrace that. And I know some people. I know some people, and I can forward these three suggestions you give, right? But do you have any more? Because I want change subject, because just recently, some Haitian police, according to the press release from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs? Foreign Affairs. Because, that's the Prime Minister who made an announcement, and he recalled everyone from the embassy in
Haiti. Ministry of Foreign Affairs put out a statement,
okay.
too. Yeah, yeah.
And apparently, the police accosted the Bahamian detail, right, or for the ambassador. And you took their guns and their weapons, whatever it is. So there is turmoil there. In Haiti. This has stepped the ante. In fact, that to the point where we close our embassy that now altogether. Till mm-hmm. further notice. Till something is being dealt with. Right? And what does that say for the Bahamians who do business in Haiti? What does that say to the Haitians who are trying to get work permits to come here to work? Right? And moving forward, does this mean, because this turmoil lasting too long, does this mean that we should perhaps consider packing up our Georgie bundle from the embassy in Haiti and move it perhaps to the Dominican Republic? And anyone who want get visa to come to the Bahamas need to go to the DR, and because this Haitian thing ain't working, right? Because you can't be stopping our Bahamian detail when we show you the government license and say, but this is an ambassador. This is an ambassador car, right? We show you the decal, we show you our ID, and the police who are supposed to be learned and disciplined people. See, this isn't...
Like
who?
There's a caller on the line.
Yeah, the caller got away. I ranted out. You hear me ranting? Yeah, you interrupt my... Anyway, let's go to the caller then. Patrick caller through their producer. You didn't hear me when I was ranting. I was running on just now. Go ahead, caller. Can
good
you hear me?
Morning, good morning, Mr. Nuri.
How you
good
doing?
Morning.
Yeah, I, Mr. Nuri, I could have finished listening to you. I was agreeing with what you said. And I also agree with Erin as Erin is very intelligent, so I would disagree with the Prime Minister's statement. It seemed too mellifluous and harmonious and weakish. You know, it's not a position. I mean, he's, you know, Brave is my boy, but he can't
my
be sound
Prime Minister
that
weak. I know that.
But yeah, but what you mean? Listen to me, man. I say it sounded weak. I'm not knowing who weak is. What you display? Any of them ever be in the war for any country? That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is new.
Brave is called Brave for a reason.
Yeah, but you hit on something very important, you know. And the same thing you highlighting was what I really was one of the things that I really wanted to draw attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the Bahamian detail, mm-hmm. entourage, whatever, they were stopped, weapons seized, vehicles taken away, made to walk, whatever, right? Whatever the situation is.
He flattened the tires.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, Mr. Nui, that in itself right there shows you, right, that we, this is a weak nation. We should never even allow it to happen. We should just have a virtual embassy because there's nothing coming out of it. So, and Sparky highlighted a very serious problem, but Ms. Green, this is not about a black and white issue, you know. This is about numerology and just common sense. And something you said yesterday about as far as the construction industry, and an article that appeared in the papers, it said 65% of the, as the guy wrote the article, I can't remember, you said 65%, but I can't remember if the article said 65%, but what it really said was predominantly more than half of the construction industry depends on undocumented migrants. So that is very frightening to me because something you said the day before, we should manage it. So hence, you don't have management. So if the migrants are undocumented, that means they are working and it's only benefiting the construction industry and they're not paying national insurance, hence a whole other problem. So what I'm saying is, if you're not managing it properly, then the country is not gaining because you can't be telling me 65% of the construction industry is undocumented and then they're getting paid and they're not contributing and doing what they're supposed to do, different from the national security and the biosecurity paradigms, all right? And so, you know, this is, why are we keep baking? Why can't we see what's going on, that we're being sold out? What it is for me, like, for me to leave and go to another country, I would never do that. But don't make it look, see, I think we love them too much. We are too sympathetic. And so that's what happened with the Indians and the Spanish and the Moors, et cetera, throughout history. So this has nothing to do with color. I think we need to get rid of that paradigm and just deal with it from a historical standpoint. But what I wanted to touch on was I think I was told by someone, and I don't know if it's true, but I didn't hear it, but I'm saying years ago, we said Luby was on the air, and Luby said that the Bahamas have a lot of land, and he would, if it was up to him, he'd bring a million nations here. But I don't know if you have that in the archives.
He didn't say that.
But he didn't watch the land.
He didn't say that.
The land is where the wealth is. You see what I'm saying? But I don't know what he said, but I'm just saying people say they heard it on the radio.
No, they're lying on him.
I got you, 52. Two things I want to sort of respond to before you go, right? Let's start with the latter, this thing about the land, because a lot of people are saying that my concern about...
The land is important, and then they're changing their names into our names, so then they could try to stake claims on generational land. You ever thought about that?
But 52, let me show
you. Just another paradigm I mentioned that you are trying to knock down. In the people that Anders made citizens arrest...
Yes.
You see, so Mr. Green, I'm being correct about so many things on the radio. It's not about me, you know.
I know it ain't about you, but I'm trying to respond.
It's not about me. I'm insignificant. I'm not fighting the battle of significance.
I don't need you to do that. I would rather have a conversation about the things that have been said and that we're saying than this thing that Bahamians are doing now when they're just shouting at each other without any real regard. Let me respond to the two things that you said. You were very sort of frustrated that the idea that the natural sympathy that we have for Haitian people may overpass our common sense and our ability to see the urgency of the matter. And you talk about the sympathy. What I'm saying to you is that we are too sympathetic with Bahamians. We're too sympathetic with Bahamians that have a moral, an ethical, or a constitutional duty to uphold or fulfill certain roles and functions. We're too sympathetic with them and have allowed systems to collapse. The sympathy that we have with Haitians is rightly placed. We can hold the sympathy in one hand and in the other hand say we can no longer continue down this road. We could do both of those things at the same time. Who I don't hold my sympathy for is Bahamians who have been working and collecting a salary knowing that they have not done their job and knowing the negative impact of their dereliction of duty, right?
But I have another call, but you still didn't give me my list. You have the people call. Yeah, 52 round. Go ahead, caller.
I like it, 52. I like it.
Caller, can you hear me? Because I got to go back to Aaron with this list. There's no caller there? No?
Caller, you there?
Going again? No caller? Okay. But go ahead, Aaron. I need some more things. Because I want to talk about this too.
A very simple thing. 2 days ago this week, leaving the station, but I'm now on Shirley Street. Mackey Street heading north to Shirley Street.
This doesn't sound like solutions.
It is a solution. There's an accident in the middle of the intersection, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for the northbound lane to move and turn left.
Mm-hmm.
So I call somebody I know and say, hey, can you get officers here? Listen, the tow trucks were parked neatly. Politely. So the accident been there for a long time. The person say, take a picture so I could send it to the station so you could see the scene. I step out the car with the camera, and the young lady tells me, could we have some privacy? The young lady on the side of the road asked me, in the middle of the road, stuck because they car blocking the intersection, if we could have some privacy. You can't have privacy on the public road. The solution is to get the RBPF to enforce the traffic controls. Because me and you cannot walk up to people on the road and ask them for their ID, but the police can. And when it's in terms of traffic, they have even greater powers to stop a vehicle, reasonable suspicion, and ask for ID. The road is a public space. Police officers can operate differently from us and use proper traffic management and traffic enforcement.
Okay, I see the connection now. You saying that we can go to Calpin Road, we can go to Carmichael Road.
No, you have a regular traffic enforcement profile. Not that you target areas. You target all the roads, and it's a part of your regular traffic enforcement, not immigration specific. You should
be able... This is an immigration issue we're talking about today. We ain't talking about immigration?
Immigrants don't drive the road to get away.
That's why I said I can go Carmichael Road.
Is there a helicopter service that is carrying immigrants to Wake? You don't breach people's rights. You use what is available to you. Mm. And that's why this particular point, we're doing all that we can. Are you, sir? There are mechanisms available to you right now.
Mm-hmm. You call four so far. I'm impressed with that.
Listen,
I'm going to inbox this to the Prime Minister now, because clearly he doesn't know. He's not aware.
The only idea it seems the government has is this sort of migrant employment integration program where they bring more people in on work permits versus them coming in illegally. That ain't quite working. But here's the next thing. Why isn't NIB being used to track the figures? I can't believe that a company that got a major construction contract would not pay the NIB of the illegal migrant workers. Because if I was working at NIB, that's how I can find every business hiring illegal migrants.
They don't have no NIB number.
Exactly. Do the NIB payments match up with the number of employers that you have on the job? And why don't we have inspectors? The people them lay the pothole, they just reverse, they turn the pothole into a hill. Somebody's supposed to be inspecting that.
So somebody's that's five now.
Supposed to be inspecting everything. This is the last one. The man, our prime minister, the brave one, is about to sit as the head of CARICOM.
Yeah. You know, he already got it from January.
Right, this is the rough part here. This is the roughest one.
So that's five.
Brave is going to have to demand, right? The same way that I am demanding that he be transparent about his engagement, foreign policy with the U.S. government and this potential migrant lily pad plan, just as I am demanding for him to be transparent with us, the people, on that, he needs to demand that the U.S., the U.N., France, the global community are transparent about their presence in Haiti, what they're doing, and their efforts to bring control back to the hands of the Haitian people in their own country. That's what, six?
That's six. So that's the six top things.
But the easiest one is this. As soon as you said, so I just want to read it.
We're
doing all that we can. You should have listed what your limitations are. That builds confidence in the Bahamian people.
I don't like how you're trying to throw my primacy under the bus, but I can remember you come election time.
And I agree with you. We from Cat Island. They don't even have a bus in Cat Island.
There you go. But let's get this call up, because I want to pivot. And because the Prime Minister says that he's going to ask I have asked the Adri to address the Shantytown injunction. And I want to know what that means. But so we'll talk about that next. But let me speak to this caller here. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, CA.
How you doing? Thanks for calling.
I'm well. Hi, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to agree with 52, right? His comments he just made, right? We have to, just about maybe, a month or two ago, we were in clear denial that there's any kind of issue with the influx of Haitians to this country.
There's no crisis.
There's none. There's just the ostrich syndrome. Let's just stick our head in the sand and hopefully the problem disappears, right?
Look where you're going.
We can't also have people defending the illegality when they say things like, even though they may not intend to sound like they're dissenting. But when you say things like, well, you know, our construction industry or, you know, the Bahamas will crumble without the assistance of these illegals coming here or Haitians coming here, there are many work sources, right? And then also we have kids, students graduating, 5,000 of them every year, right? Not everybody goes to higher university. It takes organizing. If our country needs to take an inventory of what we need as far as skill set in this country and kind of direct that the students to that pathway, those that are not going, off to higher education. You know, it takes a lot. You can't say to the people in your country, you can't say to people, we've done all that we can do. It almost sounds like, well, you know, we give up. Listen, let them come in and then we can do as much as we could do. We can't have that kind of narrative. I just don't understand. As a citizen, as a Bahamian citizen in this country, I'm concerned about that.
Definitely. You know? I appreciate you calling, man. Thank you very much. And before we pivot, see, this headline, the headlines inside The Guardian today is good. You need to go by and pick up The Guardian newspaper today, right? As the headline says, Davis, I have asked the AG to address Shantytown injunction, right? And I'm kind of insulted by it, right? Because he said he's asked the AG to look into it to get some clarity. It's been a whole year. That means the AG is still, investigating? The AG is going to ask permission? He's going to wait till the justice call a session and then he's going to get clarity? I mean, we just need a date. We need a decision made. I am concerned. It seems as it's not urgent. This is not urgent. Cabinet should have made a decision on this by now and contacted the new Chief Justice and tell the Chief Justice this needs to be dealt with now, not the AG, right? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we got to pivot. We got to pivot because we need to help the ambassador who in charge of Independence Day celebration. And we need to give that list. We need to help her. And we need to give that list. Anyway, we're going to be right back. And I hope it's a short break because Aaron has a list and we need to go over that. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C. Anery.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I notice you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. We should have these check and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri, and I'm here with Aaron Green. And we have a kaleidoscope of topics we're talking about today. But Aaron, what is happening with the press secretary going to be a consultant to ZNet? It stinks of high water. Something is untoward there. I feel a suspect. This is not ordinary. How can you be the press secretary and the consultant to the radio station? It seems like they're trying to set an agenda. I need your comment on this so we can pivot. I need a comment
on that. So, I mean, very quickly, in a small island state where you cannot avoid conflicts of interest, you need mechanisms, overt mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest. The state machinery has said that this move or this, you know, does not represent a conflict of interest, and I would beg to
differ. Rubbish.
First of all, it appears as if on the surface, it looks as if it is easy for people to infer from this move that the press secretary is going to ZNS
to fix it,
to ensure that their broadcast aligns with the state narrative. That's what it looks like on the surface.
You're doing a BIS.
Then when you juxtapose it, and that's the next thing, when you juxtapose it to the state's cannibalizing of public, of private media.
They're yucking up all of the media personalities.
It's even harder for someone to not infer that this move is to ensure that the broadcast of ZNS is in line with the state's narrative. And that's something y'all have to deal with. It don't matter what y'all say it is, it's the people's perception that's most important. And given what every Bahamian well, 17 out of 20 Bahamians want to talk about right now, we're doing all that we can do. Moving your press secretary to ZNS does not leave us with the confidence that you're going to show us that you're doing all that you can do through your broadcast mechanism.
But is he actually leaving, or is he still the press secretary and he's going to be the consultant?
Nobody suggested he's leaving. That's the problem, is that he's still the press secretary. But even if he weren't the press secretary, surely this is still a problematic move, and it's difficult for us to believe that you could separate the two things.
It's impossible. But anyway, I see the caller there, so we're going to answer the caller, then we're going straight to helping Miss Lethea Bryce, because we have some lists we can help her with, and we want to continue that. And of course, I'm going to continue that on to next week and speak on that. But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Good morning to you and your hearing.
Good morning.
I agree with Sparky said. You know, we taking that lightly. We you know, it's only we only got so much. There's just fame in here. And he went high. He said a million. I say half a million, we'll be lose this country. And I want you to draw back your memory to something else. There was what was Dominican Republic. They had a problem and what they did.
They like to shoot people.
They massacre all
kinds
of
people. Yeah, we don't refer just to them
like,
for solutions.
Just like shooting down black people.
No.
We
need
to go all the way back to
we have the records, though. You bring them up. That's why we try to remind you.
No. Dominican Republic revoked the citizenship.
So you don't want to talk about the shoot down part?
No, I remember. I recall that one. Okay. I'm talking about the reason why they revoked the citizenship.
That's almost equally as bad as shooting down people.
No. If I take a citizenship, you still have life. If I shoot you down, that's it.
Imagine being born there and have citizenship, and you say, "Man, you ain't here no more." Something wrong.
Yeah, well, see, that's our problem. Not because the person born in your country, they entitled to the citizenship. If they come illegally, be given this.
I agree with you on that.
They are going to outnumber you. They ain't loyal to them, and they always could be looking out for these people. I don't care what citizenship. You see Louis George ever come on here and say battling for the Bahamian? He always trying to give them rights.
He's
a Bahamian.
Let's not bring Louis into the equation. I want to share, let's go back a little further. You remember the Igbo people? The Igbo people actually walked off the slave ship to their death. They said, "We would rather drown than be enslaved." And that's what I reference when I say that I think that taking away their citizenship is almost equal to killing them. That's why I said that.
That's the way you feel about it. Because of the lawlessness, they just come in India and, you know, and they're for it. And then the same thing that happened to you will happen to you. You know, that's what I'm saying, and I know us, we ain't got the balls to do that. So we have to be careful. If we open the paper every day, you see citizenship given out. Everyone will be getting this problem what's happening around here.
Yeah, but Scott, I definitely appreciate it. We will continue this discussion again, and of course you need you to...
That's the danger of this thing, this migration, and we are not doing it. All right, let me this. Remember one time when you hire laborers and you was fined for it, the employer was had to pay off.
That's a law.
Pay a fine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that stopped. Okay? And that's why the nonsense goes on. If that was still going on, we'd have a lot of things in control. We got laws, but we don't enforce them. That's our biggest problem. And by the way, they just say they hired 200 immigration officers about 2-3 months ago. I don't know what they're doing, you know.
And if they were wearing cameras, we would know what they're doing, but they ain't wearing the cameras either.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Anyway. All right.
Aaron, we know we're short of time, But I promise.
You want me to read off this list?
I want you to read off the list. Okay. Because I want to discuss this and debate it. This is why I'm going to bring it into next week also.
Right. So, well, we're not going to do the recap from yesterday.
Okay.
National Inter-Island Scavenger Hunt.
I like that. What do you mean by that?
So you have...
And to preamble this, this is ideas that we want the Independence Day Secretariat to consider.
Yeah.
Right? And Aaron just mentioned an idea about the scavenger hunt, and I want to explain that.
So this Inter-Island Scavenger Hunt, you do it for Bahamians. You you get your mail boats and fast ferries to participate, and you...
No tourists?
You can do a version for tourists as well. That's the beauty of it. And you could turn it into a year-round event, right? Mm-hmm. Where you invite tourists to compete against or with Bahamians to do an inter-island scavenger hunt. I call this next one the eighth wonder of the world. We should have partnered with NASA because the boy Gifford's brother-in-law up in space all the time. Just like, okay, when I wake up, I look at the Bahamas. When I go to sleep, I look at the Bahamas. We should have partnered with NASA to create a photo album of the most notable images of the archipelago from space over the last 50 years.
This is the second time you mentioned a pictorial thing.
Right? And then I got more than pictorial things. Then we should do a map the geological and geographical heritage sites because we're the eighth wonder of the world.
That is being done by Ministry of Tourism now.
Not
that
Ministry of Tourism. Where
you can, you get a card, a booklet, and you go to different tourism's hotspots and go
on the track. Yeah, not Ministry of Tourism. This is geological wonders of the world, like the west side of Andres.
So which ministry be in charge of that?
I mean, I guess the one with money.
Tourism.
Okay, take it back.
There you go.
Then we, the most notable cultural, political, and historic sites and events, right? Like where Martin Luther King used to write his speeches in Bimini, where Martin Luther King used to have the meeting with the notable Bahamian politicians in by the Southern Recreation Grounds in that area.
We've had several, particularly Black American politicians who have based in the Bahamas at one point in time, which is a part of American history, and where they mention in their history books, but we don't mention in our history books and reference it at all.
We need to rename 50 roads for, we should have started this long time, rename 50 roads for the 50th anniversary with the competition to choose the names from street residents to constituents.
That could be the problem there, because you know the government could say that they won't choose the names.
Yeah, but we as the government, look at how that worked out just like that in 3 seconds. Then create a new map of every inhabited island and giveaways. Every home should have a map of New Providence and the inhabited family islands, and we call that the eighth wonder of the world, right? We need a history of quilting exhibition.
I'm trying to get them on the show. One lady called about quilting, and just like when we went to Washington.
Smithsonian.
I was expecting this Independence Day celebration be as grand as the Smithsonian event.
Right. Then we need the inaugural national song competition.
One would assume that should have been announced by now.
Yeah, I mean, it should have been announced a long time. Because the way that it works is that a committee, you don't have a committee of select people choose the final song.
So who's going to choose the final
Bahamians
song?
Bahamians choose it.
You keep on talking about you want Bahamians be choosing songs and who win and thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, I have this grand desire for Bahamians to be at the center of the process of how we decide how to celebrate Bahamian independence.
You trying to vex and frustrate the whole system. One Bahamian vote on everything, man.
I mean, listen, here's another idea. We should have had a Ministry of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs. That's the full name of the ministry. BNT, Horticulture Society, collaboration to create another pictorial of 50 years of flora and fauna in the Bahamas. And the national
park. I know Sweden. I could text him that. You better text me that one so I can ask him.
Yes,
if that
and
could
I
bring
hear these ideas.
Hopefully, you have enough time to do that, though.
I mean, you know, hopefully enough time to do it. I had some ideas pop up about some of the other things that we already had on the list, but this one, Battle of the Bands, right? We need to have a battle like of the genres of music. We need to invite. You start off in, it's like the dog show. You start off in your category, and the winner in each category, then you compete against each other.
That one is easy. We just need to remind them that they could do that because we have bands here, and they already do battle.
Bands. Bands, groups, and choirs. Everybody come to compete.
I like the choir idea.
Yeah, we got to have a choir.
I always thought that they should have the schools have some kind of Glee Club type competition.
Right, and then there
for
you
independence.
Go. You see that
the
word?
Old Bohemian songs.
This is the word you just used.
What, Glee Club schools? Yes. Yeah. Okay.
What is the programming for the schools? You know how long it takes to coordinate schools, teachers, and little children.
They can't even get Junior Junkanoo to rush.
They should be school specific 50th independent. And don't put these little children in their school uniform and make them march the road and wear poppy and na 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 na. Let's do something real with the children. This is there.
So they need a separate and specific agenda or time. What do you call it? A regimen for the schools,
right,
in general.
Like if I wasn't busy teething fruit. I mean, you know, from the raccoon. I only teeth fruit from raccoon.
Borrowing that.
Yeah. Borrowing fruit. Then I would have said, you know what we could have done? Mm-hmm. We could have brought all of our animators, right? All of our graphic and design artists and animators to create, like, remember the history idea we had? But to create a history book in comic strip for children, because children love comic strip.
I like that idea.
And tourists love, and then turn it into a coloring book.
If
and then sell the coloring book on the cruise ship.
If Jamal Rule wasn't made an ambassador, I was going to say, hey, can you do a comic strip book? But he worked for government now.
And I think Clint Watson already have fulfilled the quota on multiple job appointees in the administration.
I wonder if he bring in any more radio personalities to get a job. Because I know some people who need a job now. You know, money. Anyway, I'm just saying, if Clint, listen, I mean, let me move that before Dwight say he listening to the show.
Don't worry, the office of the Prime Minister is not a real place. They don't have a radio.
But they playing real money, though. They paying real money. Anyway, the music playing up. I enjoyed the show. Thank you very much, Aaron, for joining me. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM, and we can do this again next week, because we got to push the issue. Have a wonderful day.